trouble with real Sizzler. Especially if your bank book is full of credits, your stomach full of food, and your mouth full of laughter. If you are able to sit here untroubled with all those woe to you still ringing in your ears, perhaps you were not listening closely enough. Most folks know this gospel as the Sermon on the Mount, but that's not quite correct. The Sermon on the Mount is not found in St. Luke's Gospel, the gospel that we're reading in church this year. The Sermon on the Mount is found in Matthew's Gospel, and Matthew consistently undercuts the forcefulness of St. Luke's words. Instead of, blessed are you who are now poor, for instance, Matthew says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Likewise, instead of, blessed are you who are now hungry, Matthew says, blessed are those who hunger for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Let's face it, Luke is made of sterner stuff. He does not mince words. Luke tells us that when Jesus preached the Beatitudes, he was not sermonizing on some mountaintop. Instead, he says, Jesus came down from that towering height and was standing on a level plain. In other words, the Beatitudes are not some lofty discourse. They are plain talk. Jesus is leveling with us, shooting from the hip, giving it to us straight. Blessed are you who are actually poor now, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you who are actually hungry now, for you will be satisfied. When Jesus proclaims the Beatitudes, he's not praising people simply for being poor or hungry. If you have ever lived or worked among the poor, you know that there is nothing blessed about their plight. Still, Jesus insists that there is something privileged about the poor. In the Beatitudes, Jesus assures us that God cherishes the poor as his own favored people, not because they are so holy and loving, but because God is holy and loving. In ancient Israel, it was the sacred obligation of the king to care for the weak and defenseless. But in Israel, as everywhere else, there was a huge gap between what was promised and what was practiced. Consequently, in Israel, the widow, the orphan, the migrant in the land were no better off than anywhere else. And so God sent the prophets, Amos and Micah and the others, not just to denounce the lack of justice, but to help the Israelites to strive for deeper justice, better justice. Someday, the Israelites dreamt, the Messiah will come. Then God's justice will rain down from heaven. Someday, the Messiah will come. Then prosperity will flow like a river. But when Jesus stood on the plain that day and proclaimed these Beatitudes we just heard, he declared, not someday, today, God's kingdom is here. Not someday, but today, the hungry are supposed to be fed. The sorrowful are supposed to be laughing. The abused are supposed to leap for joy. In my short time here at Holy Trinity, I've been saddened to discover that some of our own parishioners live with uncertainty from paycheck to paycheck. Some of our own parishioners live in the dread of the unexpected illness or the unforeseen emergency. Unhappily, I encountered several more during the recent government shutdown. Perhaps some of you sitting here this evening are among them. Nevertheless, we have to admit that by any standard, most of us here at Trinity are well off enough, well fed enough, well regarded enough. Therefore, when Jesus thunders his woe to you rich and well fed, it is supposed to unsettle us. He means that there is something not so good about our situation. And if that's true, we can hardly call this gospel good news. And yet, for those who seek to follow God's will, every gospel is supposed to be good news. So, begging Jesus' indulgence, allow me to rewrite this gospel. Instead of "woe to you who are rich," I say, "blessed are we who are rich in money and education and influence, because we can do so much to change the lot of the poor. We can help to lift the yoke of their burden. We can break the rod of their oppressor. But we are blessed only if we hold the poor in our mind and heart with great care. Only if we recognize that what we have been given is not for us alone, that we are only stewards, that what we have we hold in trust for every man and woman and child. Instead of "woe to you who are well fed," I say, "blessed are we who are well fed, because we are strong enough to feed the hungry and to fill them with compassion. But we are only blessed if we hold the hungry and the homeless reverently in our minds and hearts. Only if we do not take our own food for granted. Only if we experience from time to time what real hunger feels like through fasting. And only if we continue to feed our hunger for God through prayer. Instead of the woe to you who laugh now, I say, blessed are we who laugh now, because we can bring the joy of Christ to those whose days are filled with anxiety and tears. But we are only blessed if we learn to laugh at ourselves, only if we don't take ourselves and our own problems too seriously. God has truly blessed us here at Holy Trinity, blessed us with riches and laughter and love. Let's pray that God continue to bless us by allowing us to enrich others and to fill their hunger, to bring laughter to their lips and love to their lives. Because only if we do this will we ever hear Jesus say, instead of "woe to you," I say, "blessed are you."